Number two. Philippians chapter number two. We're going to continue to go through our study on Philippians. This is part number three of a seven-part series that we're going to go through. We covered Philippians chapter number one, and that was Paul's triumphant experiences. And then we got into chapter two last week, and it's a three-parter on this one. And last week we covered, we began to cover Paul's tremendous examples. He gives three different people as examples in this Christian life. Last week we looked at Jesus Christ being the example of how to be triumphant in a sacrifice. And this week we're going to look at Timothy on how to be triumphant in our service for God. How to be triumphant in our service for God. Next week we'll look at Epaphroditus and how to be triumphant in the sickness that we face. And so we're going to look at some different things there and try to give you some good pointers and practical application in the Christian life here. But this is going to be Timothy, and we know who Timothy is, and he needs no introduction. We know all about Timothy being the young man that Paul had invested in on his first missionary journey, and quite possibly Timothy was the one who Paul was able to. There's several theologians who believe that when Paul was stoned and left for dead in Lystra, that Paul recovered in the home of Timothy, under the care of Timothy's mother and grandmother. And so I was reading some different things, studying some different things as far as that was concerned. That was a pretty neat little connection that several folks had made. But look here at verse number 19, if you would. Philippians 2:19, it says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly." So here we have a small little brief insert about Timothy here. Let's go ahead and pray, and we're going to get into this message tonight. Father, we love you. We do thank you for the truths of the Word of God. I pray, Father, that you would guide us, that you would direct us. Lord, help us as we look at these few little verses, and there's so much truth that's found in it about the life of Timothy. And as we remember who he was, and the training that he had received, and the discipleship that he had gotten. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn how to be faithful in our service to you. Lord, faithfulness is something that's missing in churches today. Your word says in Proverbs, "A faithful man who can find." We live in a world and a society today where there's a lack of commitment. And I pray that you'd guide and direct us and help us, Lord, to be faithful and committed in our service and our dedication to you. We'll praise you. We'll thank you. Teach us from your word. We ask these things in your name, we pray. Amen. Hold your place here in Philippians chapter 2 and go with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. I'll give you a little bit of an idea as to who Timothy is. Many of you already know Timothy and who he is as far as his growing, as far as conversion in Christ. And he had gotten saved in the book of Acts. And we're not going to go and revisit that. But here, 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse number 1 if you would. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy." Notice how he refers to Timothy in verse 2. He says, "my own son in the faith." Timothy was a young man that Paul had led to the Lord. Not only did Paul lead Timothy to the Lord, but Paul took the time to disciple Timothy and to train Timothy in the things of God. Go with me over to 2 Timothy, the next book to the right. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul had invested greatly in the life of Timothy, and he had gotten to know Timothy, and he had gotten to know Timothy's family. And so here there was a great connection that had taken place between Paul and Timothy, and we're going to see the connection as we go throughout the message tonight. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promises of life which is in Christ Jesus,
to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Here he's reminding him again that he had led him to the Lord. There was a connection that the two of them had. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice verse 3, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with a pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembered of thee in my prayers night and day. So here he was constantly praying for his young preacher, Timothy. Some people refer to him as preacher boy. Here he was a man of God. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. I want you to notice verse 5 now. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Here he's reminded of the foundation that Timothy had in his young Christian life. Where did that foundation come from? It didn't necessarily come from Paul, although Paul was able to teach him the things of God, although Paul was able to disciple him in the things of God. But the foundation that was set in Timothy's life came from his grandmother and his mother, and Paul tells us that here in verse 5. He says, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Young people, pay attention to this, okay? Pay attention to this. Even though your favorite preacher may be somebody that you hear at a youth conference or maybe somebody that you hear at a church camp, and you may enjoy listening to them. I had several favorite preachers that I would see once a year or twice a year at a youth conference and a church camp or every few years at different meetings and different things like that. Even though there's great enjoyment in hearing those men of God, they're not the ones that gave you the foundation in Jesus Christ. It's the fact that your parents have brought you to church. It's the fact that your parents have invested and given you a solid foundation in the Lord. It's okay to have heroes in the faith. It's okay to have heroes and people that we look up to for the cause of Christ, but never look up to your heroes and think that they're more important than the fact of the foundation that your parents have given you in Christ. We need to understand that. Here, Timothy, even though he had great respect for the Apostle Paul, he never forgot where he came from, and he always remembered that it was because of his mother and because of his grandmother that he even had a foundation for Jesus Christ. And Paul was constantly reminding him of that. And then he tells him in verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands, and reminded him that he was called into the ministry and that he was dedicated to the ministry. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse number 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 14. We're going to get back to Philippians, I'll show you, but I want you to understand the connection that Paul and Timothy had and why he was able to put such great faith in Timothy and his service for God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 14. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So here he's reminding them to continue in the things that he had been discipled in. But notice verse 15. He says, and that from a child. Who discipled him as a child? Well, his mother and his grandmother. Again, Paul was never negating the impact that parents or the family structure had made in the life of Timothy. And there's far too often that happens where different men of God will try to take the place of a parent structure or take the place of a family structure when God never intended for that to be such. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The only reason that Timothy was ripe, go back to Philippians chapter 2, the only reason that Timothy was ripe for the gospel message when Paul came around on his first missionary journey was because he had a mother and he had a grandmother that had taught him in the things of the Lord. Now, he had a father who was a Greek. He had a father who was an unbeliever. So yes, even though he was raised in what you could call a messed up home, a dysfunctional home. He was raised in, some could consider it a broken home, but he still turned out for the cause of Christ because he understood what his foundation was. His foundation was in Christ. And you got to put your focus in Jesus Christ. Listen to me, children. You got to put your focus on Jesus Christ. I want to help you young people. We've had far too many casualties because we have far too many people that are depending on people in their Christian life when we need to be depending on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the best of man is still a man at best. It's not a matter of if a man of God is going to fail you. It's a matter of when. Because we are human beings and there's going to be times where we disappoint. There's going to be times where your parents may disappoint. And it's the simple fact of the matter. It's not if we're going to fail. It's when. But when it comes to Jesus Christ in our life, it's never an if and it's never a when. He will not fail us. He will always be there. Here, go back to Philippians chapter 2 is where you should be. I want you to notice three things about Timothy's service that Paul recognizes. In verse 19 and 20, Paul recognizes that Timothy is an example of true service. He is an example of true service. Here, notice verse number 19 again. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Here, remember Paul, we covered this a couple weeks ago. Paul is in prison at this time. But here he is referring to the fact that he is going to send Timothy to them to check on them, to encourage them, to give them the word of the Lord. Because Timothy was a true servant. Timothy was a committed servant. I want you to notice, look at verse number 20 and to verse number 22. He says in verse 20, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him. Here he's reminding them, he's telling them, look, I have nobody else that is as like-minded as me in the ministry right now. And you know the proof of Timothy. Timothy has been there before. Timothy was with me before on the missionary journey when we established a church. You know the testimony that Timothy has. And you know how he's solid in the faith, how he's sound in the faith, how he's dedicated to Christ. He said, but there's others that aren't that like-minded. Maybe Paul at this time when he was writing this, he was thinking of Demas. Who Demas was wavering. He was being tossed around. At this time, Demas had not forsaken him in the ministry. But maybe Demas was on the cusp of being ready to leave the Apostle Paul. Maybe Paul, as he was penning these words, he was thinking of John Mark. How he had turned his back on the Apostle Paul and on Barnabas at the time. And he had left the missionary journey, the very first missionary journey when they went there before. I don't know what was going through Paul's mind at that time, but here he says, I have no man, but you know him. Here, Timothy was an example of true service. You see, a true servant is always ready, able, and willing to serve no matter what. Okay? A true servant is always ready, willing, and able to serve no matter what. You see, the Apostle Paul wanted to go to the church at Philippi, but he could not. But he knew there was a young man that he could depend on to go there in his place, to go there in his stead, and to go and be an example to this church. It was Timotheus. It was the young man Timothy. He knew he could count on him. Again, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that a faithful man who can find... It is difficult to find people who are faithful. It is difficult to find people who are committed anymore these days. I was sharing with someone here recently. They were celebrating. Somebody I was talking to, they had celebrated 35 years of marriage. Somebody had met out of town. And I said, you know, it's a shame that most couples that are my generation will never reach that because they don't know what commitment is anymore. Most young couples to even reach double digits is an act of God. Just because of the lack of commitment that's there today. Because there's no faithfulness that's found. They're always looking to someone else. But here, Paul knew that Timothy, regardless of what happened, and regardless of what state Paul was in, Paul knew that Timothy would be there. And again, it may be because when Paul was stoned and left for dead in Lystra that he recovered in Timothy's home. It may be that he had saw the faithfulness of Timothy's mother. He had seen the faithfulness of Timothy's grandmother. And he had seen the faithfulness himself first and foremost in the life of Timothy when he won him to Christ and when he trained him in the things of God. Here, Timothy is an example of true service. In verse 19, we see Timothy's commission. He said, I'm going to send Timothy to you shortly. Why? Because I want to be of good comfort and I want to know what state that you're in. He says, Timothy's going to come and check on you. This is a task that I've given to him. This is a task that I've entrusted him with because I know he'll follow through with it. Let me ask you. I wonder how many of you can be trusted to follow through with the task. I wonder how many of us tonight can be trusted to follow through with something that we have been given. Now listen, this is simple, basic stuff. If you're ever going to grow in your workplace and in your work environment, you're going to have to be able to take some leadership qualities. You're going to have to follow through with the tasks that you've been given, and you're going to have to make sure that those tasks are taken care of. And if you can't do that, you're not going to keep a job for long. And you're definitely not going to climb that ladder of success at your job site. Simple faithfulness. Simple commitment. Here, Paul knew he could trust Timothy. Paul knew he can count on Timothy because Timothy was a true servant who was always available. You see, the most important ability that you have, young people, is not your talents that you've been given. It is your availability and your dependability. If you're available for God, God can use you. If you're dependable as a servant, God can use you. It's the same thing goes for every one of us as adults. The reason children aren't available and the reason children aren't dependable, it could be because they've never learned it in the home. It could be because they're simply following the example that they've been given their whole lives. And they've been raised in a structure that is not available for God. They've been raised in a structure that is not dependable for God. When it comes to doing something for God, their answer is, well, I don't know. We might be there. I don't know. It shouldn't be a decision that you come to at the last minute as to whether or not you'll be faithful to the house of God. It should be a determination that's already been made. When we're having church, we're going to be at church. We're going to be where God told us to be. Faithfulness is a decision, not a feeling. You decide to be faithful. You make a commitment. Just like a faithfulness in a marriage, you decide to be faithful to that one that you're married to above all others. It's part of the vows that are given. You'll keep yourself only unto them forever, as long as you both shall live. We see here Timothy's commission. In verse number 20, though, we see Timothy's commendation. Notice what Paul said. He said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. And then later in verse 22, we know that he shifts the attention back to Timothy. So we know that when he makes this statement, he's saying, there's nobody else that I trust with the care of your state. There's nobody else that I trust to come in my place because he's like-minded. I know that he's sound in the faith. I know that he's solid in the scriptures. I know that he knows what he believes biblically. I know I can count on him. We see Timothy's commendation. You see here, Timothy, during his lifetime, had shown Christ-likeness. You say, well, how do you know that? Because Paul said he had no man who was like-minded as him. And Paul was able to tell the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 16, that we have the mind of Christ. So Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So Paul had given the great example on how to live for God. And he knew that in his stead that Timothy would do the very same thing. He would take the same thing that he was given and he would carry it forward. So he was committed in his Christ-likeness, but also he was committed in his care. Notice, who will naturally care for your state? Here, Timothy, at this time, Timothy was not a pastor of the church. He had not, when he does become the pastor, he becomes a pastor of the church at Ephesus. But at this time, Timothy had not been left to pastor a church yet. He had helped out. He had assisted in different places. He had learned secondhand from the Apostle Paul, but he had never pastored a church at this time. But Paul knew that he was ready. Paul knew that he could do it. Why? Because he had the heart for it. He had the natural care. He had the natural love. He had the natural tendency, the natural desire. As far as our service for God is concerned, there are three things that many people usually have, one of these three, if not all of these three, but sadly many times they're not used for God. Some people want to make the excuse that they don't have time to serve God, when in all reality, we all have the same amount of time that anybody else has. We all have 24 hours in a day. We all have 7 days in a week. We all have 168 hours in a week. We all have the very same amount of time. It's all about how we use our time for the glory of God. And many people want to say they don't have time to study the Bible, or they don't have time to walk with us. They don't have time to go soul winning. No, we have time for what we want to make time for. And in the Christian life, if it's not going to get scheduled in your life and become important in your life, then it's not going to get done. See, sometimes you got to schedule soul winning. Sometimes you got to schedule your Bible reading. Sometimes you got to schedule your prayer life. I've learned as I've gotten older that you have to have a schedule in order to make it in the ministry. You got to plan for things because time will slip away. Around here, we run 27 hours a day, 8 days a week. Amen. We're going to do everything we can for the cause of Christ. And time flies. But many people use time as an excuse. There are others who will use their talent as an excuse. Well, I don't have the same talents that so-and-so has, or I'm not able to do all the things that so-and-so is able to do. Listen, we ought not compare ourselves among ourselves. We all have the talents that God has given us, and we ought to use all of those talents that we've been given for the glory of God and for the ministry's sake. Some people have a talent in singing. Some people have a talent in preaching. Some people have a talent in teaching. Some people have a talent of organization, and they can plan and schedule things. Some people have a talent of grace, and they're just a very gracious people. Some people have just a very good talent of hospitality, and they're a great host. Different people have different talents. We ought to use the talent that we've been given for the glory of God and not allow our talent or lack of talent to become an excuse for why we don't serve God. And then I've also noticed that some people use their temperament as an excuse. Well, I'm more of an introverted person. I don't like to go out and talk to a lot of people. I'm not as extroverted as someone else. Someone who's an introvert, they're more shy, they're more reserved. Someone who's an extrovert is more outgoing. Now, believe it or not, you probably won't believe it, but when I was a kid, I was not extroverted. Believe it or not. Miss Rose looking at me funny. When I was a kid, I wasn't an outgoing person. I had my few friends, and we just stayed together. We just did our own thing. I wasn't an outgoing person. That changed as I grew up a little bit. But sometimes our temperament becomes an excuse. Well, I'm just not built like they're built, and I don't have the same mentality, the same attitude, the same personality that they have. Listen, God can use anybody of any personality. It doesn't matter. God used Paul, who is a very dynamic man of God. But God also used Thomas. Thomas was very skeptical. Thomas was one of those, he had to see it in order to believe it. But he's still one of the apostles. He was still a great man of God who died for his faith in Christ. And you have many of the other disciples. You have Andrew. Were it not for Andrew winning his brother Simon Peter to the Lord and bringing him to Christ, the church in the book of Acts wouldn't have had their first pastor, Peter. Peter would have never walked on water. By the way, he still holds the world record for it. But we don't hear a lot about Andrew and his stand and his proclamations for God. Well, Andrew was more reserved than Peter. Well, Peter was always sticking his foot in his mouth. Peter was always saying something. You ever know anybody like that? Amen. Here, Timothy was an example of true service. Don't allow an excuse of your time or your talent or your temperament. Don't allow those things to be an excuse for why you don't serve God. Every one of us should be able to serve God. Every one of us ought to have a willing servant's heart. You see, a true servant is always ready, always able, and always willing. I thank God for our church. Our church is full of servants. It's seen over and over and over again. Anytime we had a fellowship just this past weekend, and several folks, I'd leave a room, and I'd come back in, and something else would be done, that I'd go to grab a mop or whatever to do something, and somebody else was already doing something. We have a church full of servants, and I thank God for that. That doesn't just happen, though. It comes because we all strive to see a need and to try to meet that need for the cause of Christ and for the glory of God. And guess what? It's reflecting in our young people. That's why after church on Sunday nights, our young people will go to the bathrooms and they'll start cleaning. And they'll go to the windows and they'll start spraying things down. And they'll start grabbing a vacuum cleaner and they'll start cleaning things up. Why? They'll go around here and start lining up all the hymnals underneath the chairs. They'll get everything ready to go for the next service. Why do they do that? Because they're following the example of their parents. They're following the example that's been set for them. Here, Timothy was an example of true service. But also, I want you to notice, in verse number 21, Timothy was an example of total service. He was an example of total service. Notice, Paul is still bragging on Timothy at this time. In verse 20, he said, "I had no man that was like-minded like me." And then he begins to explain himself in verse 21. He says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." He's referring to the fact of the rarity of his example. All men seek their own. But then he says, "Not the things of Christ." Timothy wasn't that way. Timothy wasn't seeking after what he wanted. He was seeking to be an example. He was seeking to be a servant. We see the rarity of this example. All seek their own. But we also see the rebuke. They don't seek the things of Christ, not the things which are Christ. You see, churches today compared to churches in the past, churches today show a great lack of commitment. A great lack of commitment. Churches are closing their doors left and right simply because somebody's not willing to stand for the cause of Christ anymore. Somebody's not willing to fight the good fight of faith anymore. We see it happen all over again. I was talking to a young man this afternoon. He had called the church. He was a church planter. Getting ready to go plant a church in Nashville. Or just outside of Nashville. He was talking about how there's churches that were there and listed. He says there's five Baptist churches that are listed as being in Nashville. They've all closed their doors. Every one of them. So there's only one other independent Baptist church in Nashville. You see, people aren't fighting the fight of faith anymore. Commitment is lost. Faithfulness is gone. People are seeking after their own profit. They're not seeking after the thing of Christ. But Paul was reminding the church here at Philippi that Timothy wasn't that way. You see, there were others that were following after their own lust. Again, he may have been thinking of Demas. He may have been thinking of John Mark at the time. I don't know who he was thinking about as he was penning this. But he was thinking about others that had left him in the ministry. But he knew that he could send Timothy because Timothy was a faithful servant. Timothy was an example of true service. Timothy was an example of total service. By the way, our commitment to God ought to be total commitment. I remember as a teenager, as a young person, we would host a youth conference there at Bible Baptist Church in Jacksonville every year. And one of the years, I believe it was 2006, I think was the year. We had the orange shirts and had the interstate sign on the front of the shirt, and it said, totally committed. And that was the theme, to be totally committed to the things of God. That's not just for young people. That's for us as adults as well. And by the way, as you get older in your Christian life, it gets more and more difficult because of the more and more responsibilities we have. We have the requirements of a job that pulls away because we have bills that we've got to pay. And so being committed becomes more and more difficult and more pressing, where we have to actually make time for it. The best time to serve God and begin to serve God is as a young person. You got your whole life ahead of you. You got all the time in the world ahead of you to be able to serve God and start young, start now. That's what Timothy did. And by the way, Timothy was faithful through the rest of his life because he had a solid foundation by his mother and his grandmother. Timothy was an example of true service. He was an example of total service. But thirdly and lastly here, he was an example of tested service. He was an example of tested service. You see, you can only be as faithful as you have been tested. A lot of people, they fail in the testing of God. The tests of life come, the hard times of life come, the trials of life come, and that's where our faith is really found out. Whether or not we're going to be faithful. Listen, anybody can stand up and say, I'm going to live for God and I'm going to serve God. But it's when the hard times come. It's when the trials come. It's when the difficulties of life come that we're faced with the reality of what are we really going to do. Anybody can say, I'm going to stand up for the cause of Christ. But just like that missionary in South Africa just recently, who while he's preaching the Word of God and armed men come into the church and take him captive and take him as a hostage. And he was tortured for what, 2.5 weeks? By these men, never once recanted the name of Christ. You see, it's during those times where we find out the quality of people that we are. During those difficult trials. Anybody can say that I'm going to stand up for God. And you ought to say that. But it's when you're facing those trials, that's when the real you comes out. That's when the real you comes out. You see, I'm a guy, I love sweet tea. But you find out what's in the tea bag when you put it in the kettle of water. And when that water begins to boil, what's inside the bag actually starts coming out. And in your life, you find out what's on the inside when the times get hot, when the times get hard and they get tough and difficult. That's when you find out what you're really made of. And we've got to determine to be made of the right things. We've got to determine to be solid and sound in our faith. Notice verse 22. He says, but ye know the proof of him. I think it's interesting that Paul uses the word proof, meaning that Timothy had already proved himself. That's why when Paul gave the qualification of a pastor in 1 Timothy, he said, not a novice. One who had been proven in the ministry. One who had already showed himself to be faithful to the things of God. He said, here, ye know the proof of him. Evidently, this church at Philippi had seen the effects of the servant's heart that Timothy had. We see here in verse number 22 why Paul was sending Timothy. He said, you know the proof of him, that as a son with the father, he hath served me, with me in the gospel. Here, Timothy had proved himself over and over again. We see that the Philippians, they knew that Paul loved Timothy here as a son with the father. And they also knew that Timothy was going to be loyal to Paul. He had served me, or served with me in the gospel. Anywhere that Paul was going to go for the cause of Christ, he knew that Timothy would be right there with him. He knew that if he was going to go on another missionary journey, that Timothy would be one of the first guys in the church to sign up to go with him. Because Timothy was ready. He was chomping at the bits. He was excited about serving God as a young man. So what did he do? He yoked himself up with somebody else who can train him in the ministry. This is why I said Sunday, our young people, you need to get to know these older men and women here in the church. Get to know these ones that have gone on before us. Get to know their faith in God and how they've been faithful for all of these years. Learn the commitments that they've made. Why? Because they can teach you and train you in the things of God. By the way, take your Bibles. Go with me to Titus. Let me turn over there. I'll give you the passage. Titus. Look at chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. Here Paul's telling Titus, again, another one of his young preachers. Titus chapter 2 verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men. So here, the older men in the church, what are they to do? They're to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Why? Because they're going to have some young ones that are looking up to them. They're going to have some young ones that are going to try to emulate their example. But notice verse 3, that the aged women likewise. So not just the older men, but the older women as well need to be the example to the younger ladies. That they be in behaviors, become holiness, not false accusers, not giving much wine, teachers of good thing. Why? That they may teach the young women. See, the older women are supposed to teach the younger women. You see, the older men are supposed to teach the younger men. There's discipling that takes place. Look at verse number 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Go back to Philippians chapter 2. Let me ask you. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, are you a pattern of good works for these young people? We've got teenagers in here. We've got children in here. Are we a pattern of good works? You see, a pattern, if somebody were into stitching or embroidery, they have a pattern that they follow. If somebody is into leather making or iron works, they have a template or a pattern that they use for stamping or for imprinting things. Whenever I worked for a contractor when I was in college, we had several different jobs that we would do, and we were working on shifting a roof line and moving the weight onto a support wall inside the house because the support wall was 3 feet away from where it needed to be, where the middle of the ceiling actually ran and all the weight came in. And so the ceiling was beginning to sink down and some different problems were happening. So in the attic, we began to shift the weight over. Well, there was a board. The boss man had gotten up in the attic And he had measured things out and he had cut a board exactly how he wanted it. And I was the cut man on the job. And he come down and he hands me the board. He said, this is your template. Don't mess this up. Every board needs to be cut like this board. Every single board. And so I had to cut 40-something boards for the job that we were doing. Every one of them had to be exactly alike. Had to follow the template. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Brandon? You're a contractor. Had to be just like the one. Brother Throw and I, we were building the, what's that in front of your house? The well out there. We made a template for the trusses, for that roof. And then we made all the other boards just like that. We followed the pattern. Well, listen, we've been given a pattern in the Word of God. We've been given a pattern. And there's several here in this church, the older men and the older women, that have followed this pattern with their lives. And as young people, we need to get to the aged men, to the aged women. We need to find the pattern. We need to follow after it. As young parents, young adults, young couples that are in here, you've heard the phrase, the proof is in the pudding, right? Time will tell whether or not we're going to be the faithful, aged men and women one day. Time will tell. But right now, we've got to show ourselves a pattern of good works for these young people, for our children, for the cause of Christ, for this next generation. Here, verse 22, Paul says, you know the proof of him. He says, I know who he is. I've spent time with him. I've seen him. I've invested in him. I've trained him. I've taught him. I know what he is. I know what he believes. He's been faithful. But then he says, but ye know. He says, don't just take my word. You know who he is. You know in your conscience how faithful he has been to God. We know. This is why Paul was sending Timothy. And then in verse 23 and 24, we also see that when he is sending Timothy. Verses 23 and 24, look at 23. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. He says, I want to send him now, because I don't know how long I'm going to be in prison. I don't know how long this is going to last. Verse 24, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. He said, but I plan on getting out of here one day. Remember back in chapter number 1? Was it verse number 19? Chapter 1, verse 19 of Philippians. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Go down to verse number 26. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. He's reminding them again in chapter 2 of what he told them back in chapter 1. That I believe because of your prayers I'm going to be set free one day. He says, I'm going to come to you. I plan on being there. But until I can get there, I've got to send Timothy. Why? Because he's the closest thing that I have to my example. He's been faithful in all these areas. We all know, whether it's the job site or whether it's at home, mom and dad have a set of rules. Oftentimes kids seem to obey a little bit better when dad's around. Right? Typically how a lot of it goes. When dad leaves, he's got to remind the kids they're going to obey mama. Because if not, she's going to let him know when he gets home. She is there in the stead. She's going to reinforce everything that's been taught. Because they should be one unit. Correct? It's the same relationship with Paul and Timothy. Paul had taught the church at Philippi, but he knew he could send Timothy in his stead because he knew that Timothy was sound in his faith and sound in his doctrine. He knew that Timothy wouldn't lead them astray. So here, Timothy is the true example of how we ought to be a servant for God. Meaning that when people see us, listen, when people see us, it ought to be the closest thing to Christ that they'll see here on earth. It ought to be the closest thing. Paul was able to say, I have nobody else that is as like-minded as me as Timothy is. Meaning that Timothy is just like me. He thinks like I do. He acts like I do. He's going to do what I've done. we as a child of God in this world, we've been left here and we've been given the title of a Christian, which means little Christ. When others see us, they ought to see Christ through our lives. They ought to see the right kind of servant. They ought to see the right kind of example. They ought to see someone who's committed and someone who's faithful. Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. Timothy shows us how to be faithful, how to be triumphant in our service for God. Timothy had a solid foundation. He had a solid example to follow. With heads bowed and eyes closed, young people, I want you to understand, you've been given a solid example as well. You've been given a solid foundation. Same doctrine that Timothy was given is the same doctrine we teach and preach here. It's the same doctrine that's in your Sunday school class. Teaching the Word of God. Those of you that are in our Christian school, you've learned the Holy Scriptures from a young age. You've been given us very same things. Meaning we ought to be faithful in our service. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. I want to be faithful. I want to be true. Lord, help us to be faithful to you no matter what. Use us, guide us. We'll praise you and thank you. We ask this in your name and pray. Amen. As the pianist plays, you come. Make a commitment tonight to be faithful in your service for God. To be faithful.